Many of you have been joining us as we went from, you know, the different parts of the conquest, right? Remember, we started out in Gilgal, we went to Jericho, and then we were in Ai. And then, where do you go from Ai? You know, after successfully taking over Jericho and then learning the important lessons from Ai, where do you go from there? Well, as far as we know, they pressed on into the land. They pressed on into the rest of Israel. They went down south. They took the southern lands. And afterwards, from Joshua chapter 11 onwards, they went into the northern campaign. You know, God did so many things. Even stopped the sun, made the sun and moon stand still for a day just so that they can have victory. And one by one, the cities of the south and the north fell into the hands of Joshua because, you know, they could not stand against the hand of God, alright? So this is something that we have learned. And actually today, I wanted to bring something that I forgot, okay? So, but I have a picture of it that I did not forget. And you see, what happens in Joshua chapter 11, we are told that one of the cities that they marched against was the city of Hazor. Everyone say Hazor. Now, I've been to Hazor, okay? I've been to Hazor. In the northern Israel, this was the largest Canaanite city of that kingdom, right? The most powerful and influential Canaanite city of the Canaanite kingdom. So when you go to Hazor in Joshua chapter 11 verse 11, we are told that Joshua defeats Hazor, destroys it, and burns it down to the ground, right? And what I had was when I went to Hazor many years ago, one of my friends was there, gave me a piece of pottery that dates back to the archaeological layer where this happened, right? So I actually brought it. Do they have a picture of that next one? Yeah, you know, I actually brought this the other time. I thought it was in my bag, but I looked in my bag, I lost it. It's probably at home, right? But I have this little piece of pottery, and this piece of pottery dates back to the actual time that you read in Joshua chapter 11:11. Okay, it has burn marks on it. So I thought I wanted to bring it and show you because it's so unreal. You know, when you read the Bible, right? At home when I'm reading Bible, I read to Joshua 11, and then I take out from my drawer that piece of pottery in my hand. I say, well, what I'm reading in the Bible is this. This stuff in my hand is coming from that little story in the Bible. I think that's pretty awesome, right? I'm so sorry I couldn't bring it for you today, but that's what it looks like on my, it's not right here right now, but you know, just a little bit of pottery crying out. And the Bible says the stones cry out. And this is very important for me because, you see, your faith and my faith is not predicated upon somebody's good idea, right? It's not some story. It's not great philosophy. It's not psychology. It's not something that we made up. Actually, our faith is predicated on what God actually did in the course of history. And because of what God did, history took a turn and something changed. So today, you and I, our faith, it's anchored on what God actually did in history, right? Now, you know, when I took that piece of pottery and I showed my wife, you know, my wife said, hey, are you sure you're allowed to take this out or not? I said, don't ask this kind of questions. People give you, just take, right? Right. Now, you don't have to go to Israel to get a piece of, you know, history. Every one of you, in your own lives, there are things that God has done. Amen? Yeah? God did something in your life. Those things, big or small, they are this pottery. They are the stones that cry out to remind you that your faith is not anchored in some theory or in some person's teaching. It's anchored in what God has actually done in history. So I wanted to show you that day. I'm so sorry I couldn't bring it. Yeah, I could bring it, but I forgot. This is a sign of getting old, right? Early onset of senile dementia. It's happening now for me. So, I thought I want to say this as a way of introduction into the rest of Joshua. Because from just Joshua chapter 11 onwards, you don't have this little stories. It's just one whole, you know, sweep narrative about what happens. Joshua pushed all the way north as far as Mount Hermon. And, you know, I actually have a picture of that as well. You can show that. And secured the land which God promised them. Actually, the slide is like way behind already. Okay, yeah, that's where we are, right? Now, from there onwards, as they went into the land, they began to divide the land into how many parts? Anyone want to guess? 12 parts, alright? But we know, actually, there was one tribe that didn't get any land. Who are they? The Levites. Because they were full-time workers. They're like pastors, right? They got no time to farm the land. They got no time to keep animals. Their full-time job was actually in the temple of God. So that was full-time job, right? So, Because they were not able to manage any land, they were given 24 cities. They were known as the Levitical cities, right? But there was actually another tribe that was missing. Anyone want to guess who's missing? Joseph. Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob, and he died in Egypt. So he was not there, right? So actually 12, two are missing. So there are two more. Who's making up these two extra plots? Right, Manasseh and Ephraim. So today I want to read to you from Joshua chapter 17 about what happens here. Okay, it says here, there was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh. Keep in mind, Manasseh was one of Joseph's sons, right? Not one of the direct descendants of Jacob. One of the sons. He was the firstborn of Joseph, namely from Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead. Because he was a man of war, therefore he was given Gilead and Bashan. Now, as the land, as the inheritance and the promise of God was being parceled out, Manasseh, not directly Joseph, was given a land. And in this verse that we just read now, which maybe on the screen you can see it there, it says that the reason why he was given land was because he was a man of war. Now this is very strange, right? Why do you give it to someone if he's a man of war? And I want to tell you, there's a very important principle here. The reason was this. You see, Manasseh comes into this land. All his uncles are there fighting from the land. He could have just folded his hands and said, look, what has this got to do with me, right? My father is dead. My inheritance is in Egypt. Why should I fight for anything? But Manasseh decided that, no, I'm going to throw my lot into it. I'm going to join in this battle. And I'm going to fight for the land. I'm going to fight for the inheritance of the land. And because he did this, the Bible says, because he was a man of, not because he was a man of war, as in he likes to fight, but because he joined in the fight, he became part of the battle for the land, he also inherited the promise of God. Because he was willing to fight for the land, he also inherited the promise of God. When it comes to our inheritance, your inheritance and my inheritance, that's a very important principle, right? The principle is this, those who fight for the kingdom inherit the promise of God, right? Now, many people don't realize this, but we all have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Did you know that you have an inheritance? Because Manasseh, my thought, you know, my father is dead, I've got no inheritance, but you have an inheritance. This is what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. It says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible, everyone say incorruptible. Means you wouldn't lose it, right? And undefiled, that does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So what the Bible is saying here is that, did you know that every one of you, you have an inheritance that is reserved for you. In heaven, it's got your name on it. It is a great inheritance. It will not fade away. It's not like some of the stuff you get, you know, after a while, you know, one of the things I get very frequently, I'm telling you this, people like to give me calendars. Right? I don't know why. Maybe they think I'm kind of lost, right? But they keep giving, but you know, I don't like calendars. First of all, I don't use calendars, right? Nowadays, I'm kind of in the digital age now. But I get all these calendars. The problem with calendars is you can't give to other people. Because usually next year, normally the year change already. Right? I don't give you someone, hey, by the way, I got this very nice calendar from 1975, you want not? Nobody wants it, Anna, even though the picture is very nice, right? Some of our things we get in life, it fade away in value. But the Bible says, every single one of us, we have an inheritance. The Bible says, there is an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, it's for you. Did you know that you have an inheritance? Turn to your neighbor and say, you have an inheritance. Okay, this is the first problem. Many people don't know that they have an inheritance. So they walk around their whole life like paupers begging, please give me something. When in fact, you have a great inheritance in Jesus Christ. Just that you didn't know it. And I tell you, young people, there are so many young people who go through life thinking that they have nothing. When they, in fact, they have a great inheritance in Jesus Christ. But the thing is that, if you have an inheritance in Jesus Christ, you have to go get it. You have to act on your belief, not act on your unbelief. Because you don't believe that you have an inheritance, you'll not do anything about it. But if you say that you believe, the Word of God says that you have an inheritance, then you must do something about it. You must go and get it. You understand? If I gave you a check, okay, today, I'm not going to give you a check, but let's say, hypothetically, you know, New Year's Day, you open your ang pao. Instead of the normal money, right, you got a check inside. The check says OCBC Bank, okay? And then down there, it writes $200. Let me ask you, what are you going to do with it? What will you do with it? Would you like maybe frame it up? Right? Wow, I got $200. No, you don't have $200. You have a check for $200. You can't buy anything with a check for $200, right? In order, and then most of you will know what to do. You go to the bank. You want to cash in the check and get that worth to fight for an inheritance. Those who fight for inheritance will receive. They will inherit the land. But many people, they don't. And today I'll talk a little bit about why people don't receive their inheritance, right? Just now I already mentioned the first thing. Many people don't know that they have an inheritance. Many Christians and Christian young people, they don't know that they have inheritance. Even though they have it, imagine you join a cruise. Have you guys been on a cruise ship before? You have been on a cruise? One of these like cruise to nowhere, you know what I mean? And you know, what do you do mostly on the cruise ship? Tell me. I swim, I don't know. What else? Anyone else wants to yell out? Don't say gamble, because, you know, you're too young for that. Right? Eat, right? I mean, on these cruise ships, you didn't know, it's eating day and night, the buffet, you know, here buffet, there buffet. After every cruise trip, cruise trip, right? You put on weight, right? Imagine you went on one of these cruise ships. You paid the ticket. You're on the board. But every day, you look at all the people eating, you know. And then, but you got no money, right? So you bring out your own cheese and your own bread. You look at people eat, you cut a bit of cheese. You know? Today, Monday, eat a bit. And every day. But didn't you know that your ticket price includes the food price, right? You don't have to bring your own bakwa. You don't have to bring your own New Year's food to eat separately. This is what so many young people, they are Christians, but they behave like they are not Christians. They didn't know that they have a great inheritance. So that's the first problem. Second of all, many people, they dare not go and take their inheritance. Right? In Hokkien, we say, paisei, you know. We want to take, but you don't want to take, right? You know, my wife, is very funny. Every time I bring her out somewhere, and she'll say, you know, we go for dinner, right? So I would say, okay, I pay. But after a while, she'll feel kind of bad, because every day I pay, you see, right? It's one of those kind of dinners. So every time I pay. So once in a while, she'll say something like, okay, tonight I will pay, right? Because we eat somewhere cheap, right? So she say, okay, tonight I'll pay. So, now I'm being a gentleman, young man, you must learn to know this, be a gentleman, right? Offer to pay, right? So I will offer to pay, I take out $50. Say, I pay, Say, no, I pay, no. But she can say, while she's saying, no, I pay, she can take the $50, right? No, I don't want, but okay, thank you very much. Then in the end, I pay, right? If you paisei, you end up paying, basically, right? And same thing, many people, you know, you want to do something from God. You feel like God has called you to do something. But you know what? You feel, I'm not sure, I lack confidence, What happens if I get rejected? What happens if things don't work out right? What if I am embarrassed? What if people laugh at me, you know? What might happen? What if? And then you shrink back. And whatever little faith you started with, you whittle it away, chop a bit, pound a bit, nothing left of that faith. So just when you want to serve God, just when you want to go out and begin to explore and even take hold of God's inheritance for you, what happens? Most of you, bam, you shrink back and decided, no, it's safer to stay in my own room. Don't do anything. Many of us don't even step out. And you know what's very funny, right? Because we are already told that you have a great inheritance, but you don't go out and take it, right? So we falter. Many of our young people today, they have been going to church since they are very young, but they never step out of their comfort zone in order to take hold of the promise God gives them. Because they are afraid. Afraid of many, many things that can go wrong in your life. You shrink back. We are afraid that we are not immediately successful. You know, we have a monkey brain. You know, in psychology, they say, there's this monkey brain in all of us. Of course, we are human brain, right? But there's part of us, very primal brain, that needs instant gratification, you know, right? And whatever gives you instant gratification, you'll follow it everywhere, right? This is monkey brain for many of us. And most of us, if we don't get something immediately, we shrink back. If I cannot succeed immediately, we shrink back. We are too scared. So this is what the author of Hebrews has to say about shrinking back, right? He says, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35 is on the screen. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. Everyone say great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after... Now, why do you need endurance? You don't need endurance if it's going to be very easy, right? You need endurance if something is going to be very difficult. You don't need endurance if people are going to serve you your destiny on a silver platter. The reason why you need endurance is because it's telling you, you're going to have to fight for it. That is why you need an endurance. Okay? You have need for endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. God has promised and is good for his promise. And he says, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now, the just will live by faith. If anyone draws back, says draw back. So anyone withdraws, right? You want, but you're scared, right? Anyone draws back, the Bible says, my soul, that is God's soul, has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition. That's an old English word for destruction. But those who believe to the saving of the soul. Did you know that God doesn't like cowards? Did you know that? In Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, it says that cowards will not inherit the kingdom of God. So many of us, we are too chicken now. I'm telling you today, the word of God is telling us, be a man. Be a woman, okay? Whichever one is appropriate, right? Please don't be confused about that. Be a man. Do not be afraid. Do not shrink back from your destiny. You know where the promise of God is. You know where you are. And you know, between where you are and where you want to go, there are giants in between. That is why you have need for endurance. Today, our people don't like to fight. You know, it's very worrying. We have a generation who generally have been very blessed. But we are so blessed until we have forgotten how to fight. And to fight for our inheritance. You know, when we see all these foreign students, they come from Vietnam, they come from Cambodia, right? They come from faraway countries to Singapore to study. They are working hard. They are studying hard. And while they're studying hard, on the side, they're managing their eBay shop, you know. They got eBay shop. Like they're doing all their business while they're studying. Because they're hungry and they're fighting for something. But many of us Singaporeans, we are overly comfortable. And it's no good for us because we have forgotten how to fight for our inheritance. We need fighting faith. Your faith and my faith is not good enough. We need to get it up to Super Saiyan level, right? You need to have fighting faith. You understand what I'm saying? You all know where this Super Saiyan thing comes from, right? You know, right? You know what's Dragon Balls or not? Yo, how can you all like worse than me? Like, okay, maybe I'm too old. Right? Okay, could be. It's possible. It's a very old anime. But there are different levels of faith. And frankly, for our world today and for what God wants to do today, you and I need to get your faith level up to fighting faith, right? People don't want to fight. The kingdom of God is looking for men and women who are willing to fight for their faith. In just a week past, we read about the passing away of the great Billy Graham, right? Reverend Billy Graham. And his life was characterized with single-mindedness. That man, from the get-go, had one thing in his mind, and he ran with all his might. He ran for it. But today, he's dead. And Singapore and the world today needs new Billy Grahams. People who are single-minded, who are willing to fight for what they believe in. Not people who are, like, kind of lame, right? There are many other people who not only don't fight for their inheritance, they despise their inheritance. In the book of Genesis chapter 25, there's a story about another young man. His name was Esau. Esau was a hunter. So one day he was out hunting, right? Now, Esau was the firstborn of Isaac. And Isaac, of course, was the son of Abraham. And Abraham was an incredibly wealthy man, right? Abraham had many cattle, he had many, his much land, his private army, he's got a private army of 300 armed soldiers, okay? I mean, I know many of you got maids at home. Some of you, maybe even got two maids at home. But how many of you got private army? Don't have, right? This guy got private army, okay? He don't need Cisco, he don't need Brinks, he's got his own private army. So he's an extremely wealthy man. And why does he need a private army? He got great wealth, man. Got to protect his wealth, right? So all the inheritance that Abraham had went to who? Where did he go to? went to his son Isaac, right? Now, when Isaac dies, where will all the inheritance go to? It go to Esau, the firstborn son. Okay, those days being firstborn is very, very good. Secondborn, not much. Okay, firstborn, very good. Now, I'm like secondborn. Right? In my family, I have an older sister, I've got a younger brother, I'm the middle one. And you know, middle one is not very good. When we're young, they tell stories like, did you know, when the ghosts come at night, you go for the middle one, right? So what can I do? I can't help being born in the middle. Okay, not so good. But firstborn is very good. So Esau was the firstborn. Everything his father has would eventually come to him because he was the firstborn. This is known as the birthright. Okay, this is his inheritance. He has a right to this. But is it his yet? Not yet. His father haven't died yet. Okay, so don't go about wishing your father will die. So here was Esau. He comes back from hunting and he's very tired. And typical of young people, he like to exaggerate. Oh yeah, I'm going to die already lah. You know, some of us are coming back from school. I'm going to die. Look, nobody ever died from going to school. Unless you get shot in school, right? Like, happened in the news. Different kind of school. But most of us don't die in school, okay? Right? Okay, so, he comes home and says, oh, I'm going to die already, right? So, Jacob was a bit more, you know, he's not the kind of outdoor type one now, right? Skin a bit more pale like mine, like that, right? Stay at home, touch hair, cooking one, okay? Although I can't cook. But he was cooking up a storm, right? I mean here, ang tao seng, what am I talking about? Ang tao teng going, right? Red bean soup, lentil soup. It was going, the smell was nice. So as I was walking by, he said, whoa, I'm going to die already. If I don't eat that, I'll sure die. Comes in and asks, Jacob, I want some, right? Now Jacob says, all right, I can have you some, but you must sell me your birthright. Okay? Your birthright for this bowl of lentil soup. Let's make a trade. What does Esau say? Now, this is what he says in Genesis 25. He says, look, I'm about to die. So, what is this birthright to me? What is this birthright to me? Monkey brain, right? What good is my birthright? Right? He cannot see beyond his next meal. So, he despises it. Listen, all of you, you have an inheritance in God. It's a great inheritance. But right now, you might not be able to see all of it. Right? Because in inheritance, right, you may not be able to claim all of it. But many people, young people, because they cannot immediately taste it, they despise it. I think I told you this experiment before. It's called the marshmallow experiment, right? And this experiment was this, you know, they had this classroom full of young people and the children, like the small children. And in front of the table, every table had one marshmallow in front. Right? One marshmallow in front of everyone. And then the instructor was telling all the young children, okay, little children, don't touch your marshmallow, okay? You wipe off your saliva, okay? Don't touch your marshmallow, okay? Alright, I'm about to leave the room now. All the young people, yeah. When I leave the room, two things will happen. Either one, you eat the marshmallow, or you will not eat the marshmallow. And when I come back afterwards, okay, if your marshmallow is still there, you will get two marshmallows. Right? But if you have no more marshmallow, then you have no more marshmallow. Right? So which one is better? Two marshmallow or one marshmallow? Two marshmallow, right? Okay, so of course the instructor leaves the room. Now they have cameras all in the room observing the children. It's very interesting. Different children. Some children, before the door closed, marshmallow gone already. Alright? Monkey brain, okay? They cannot think very far. This is probably Esau. His name is probably Esau, the one, right? But there are other children who try to look here, look there, you know, try to hold the chair tightly, don't look at the marshmallow, look at other people's marshmallow. There are a couple who, after the saliva come down, cannot take it after a while, cannot resist, they eat the marshmallow, right? And so they tried this experiment, finally they came in and some of them, a small number of these kids, they somehow succeeded, okay? Some other children try to take other people on, so it's not even better, right? But some, they manage to resist, and these are known as the two marshmallow kids, right? And then they decided to track these people throughout their life, and they found that the two marshmallow kids tended to succeed anyway in life, right? Because they were able to look at the bigger picture. Many young people today, they cannot see the big picture. All you can see is the marshmallow in front of you, and you can't wait to eat it, right? But you know, when you look at the Bible says, you know, people like Esau, he say, I'm going to die. What good is my birthright? Listen, you have a wonderful, a great reward in Jesus Christ. And therefore, it's important for you to look at that in that whole context, not just what is in front of you. Because right in front of you, you may be tempted to do a lot of things. Things that will forfeit your great reward in Jesus Christ. And that was Esau giving, squandering away his great inheritance, all for a little bowl of lentil soup. Just think about it. With the inheritance, he will not only have one bowl of lentil soup, he could probably open lentil soup franchise in all of Israel, right? And yet, he didn't have any vision. He didn't have any confidence. So Hebrews 10:35 says this, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, do not cast away your confidence. So this endurance, right? Endurance is the ability to hang in, to hope through a barrage of blows and things that your adversary will send you. Because between you and where God wants you to be, is there are giants in the way. Endurance is your ability to hang in there as the enemies attacks you, right? So in Joshua chapter 18, we are told that there were seven tribes. Now, by the time you get through to Joshua chapter 18, they're already somewhere in this campaign already, right? Five tribes already managed to secure their land. But we are told that seven tribes, out of the 12, seven of them did not receive their inheritance. Why? Because the land was promised to them. They already kind of partitioned up the land. Their name is on the land already, right? And yet, we are told that seven tribes did not receive. You want to guess why? I'll tell you why. It's actually in the Bible, right? Joshua chapter 18, verse 3. Joshua chapter 18, verse 3, it says, then Joshua said to these children of Israel, these seven tribes, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Okay? So basically, Joshua had to kick butt. Okay? He had to tell this way, look guys, what are you doing? You have a promised land. Why are you just hanging around? Tell you what, in fact, you read the Bible. Joshua, get your men together, organize them, get out there, and then come back and tell me what you did. Because these people, they're not doing anything. There are many Christians who are waiting. I don't know what they're waiting for, right? Maybe they're waiting for God to present the land to them. Maybe the enemies will come up to them one day. Hey, by the way, we decided to surrender the whole land to you. Just come and take in, you know. Here, our wife and our children, you can have them as slaves. It's not going to happen like this. When you want to take the land from the enemy, the enemy is going to come at you with everything that they have, right? With the fury of hell. The question is, do you have the endurance? So this bunch of seven tribes of them, they were just sitting around. I worship you. They're waiting for God to drop something in the lab. You know, nowadays, I read that Amazon, they are actually experimenting with this drone delivery. You know drone delivery, right? These drones, you order some package from Zalora or whatever, one day you come by a drone, right? You'll be sitting outside in the field somewhere like this. And the drone will come and drop. Boom! Wow, I got my clothes, my shoe, my refrigerator. Okay, maybe not so much for a drone, right? But some Christians are like this. They're waiting. I don't know what they're waiting for. God has told you, your promised land is there. Go get it! But we're waiting. Lord, I'm waiting on you. Don't wait on me. Don't wait for me. Go get it. Joshua basically had to tell these children of Israel, go and get it. Young people, you have an inheritance from God. Don't wait for adults to give it to you. Don't wait for the adults. Don't wait for the official channels. Don't wait for the government to give it to you. Don't even wait for your parents to give it to you. You go out there and get the inheritance God has for you. Amen? A woman or so, right? I mean, not just a man, right? Some of us, we don't know this. Nobody has told us this. We thought that when we became Christians, everything will be given to us. Today, I'm sad to tell you, Santa Claus don't exist, right? I don't want to destroy your dreams, but Santa Claus don't exist. In Christianity, you have to go out there and fight for your inheritance. And God will be with you as you do that. So Joshua basically had to kick them. Kick them in the butt and get them to go, right? And then you have to have like attitude of Caleb, right? You say, give me this mountain. I'm old, but I can do it, right? It is an attitude that we need to cultivate, not to run away from our mountains, but to want the mountains. So they went through the whole land, right? basically trying to take the inheritance. And they're mostly successful. There are a few Canaanite tribes that they couldn't kick out. But by the time you get to the end of Joshua chapter 23, 24, by the time Joshua was a grand old man of Israel, many years have passed. In fact, he's probably, I'm guessing, probably around 90 plus years old. Because we know that in Joshua chapter 13, he was already 85. Caleb was already 85 years old, right? So more than 45 years has transpired since the first time they tried to enter but failed. In this time, when they were very old, Joshua knew that he was going to die. And so because of that, he had a few final words to share with the children of Israel, to encourage them, to motivate them, right? And so we want to look at these words. Joshua chapter 23, verse 13. He says, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." That's just a euphemism, right? That's a nice way of saying that I'm going to die, right? So turn to your neighbor, say, "You're going..." Okay, don't say that. You know, we're all eventually going the way of all the earth. Okay, you know that, right? You're not going to live forever, right? You're all going to go the way of the earth. And you know, in all your hearts and all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass. Not one word of them has failed. Joshua can speak like this. You know why? He's already at the end of his journey. And I was telling somebody, did you know that things look much better at the end of the journey? Let me ask you. Exams. You all have to take exams, right? Do exams look better before the exam or after the exam? Or some of you say, depends a lot, never study, then look terrible after the exam, right? Right? Which is why you should study. But you know, normally after the exam, all the hard work is over already, right? You can laugh, oh yeah, I made the question. You know, it's kind of over. There's nothing you can do about it anymore. Now, Joshua can speak like that because he is at the end of his journey. And from that vantage point of being at the end of the journey, looking back, he's able to tell the people, look guys, it's not as bad as it looks. You know, I climbed Mount Kinabalu before. I think I told some of you that. When I was younger, I had the opportunity to climb Mount Kinabalu. I don't know what possessed me. I guess when they asked me, Daniel, you want to climb Mount Kinabalu? I thought it's kind of fun. Basically, I never climbed a mountain before. I thought it was kind of fun, right? And then so I had gone, I packed up already. I got my nice brand new, you know, bag, which I bought, made in China, right? And I was ready at the foot of the mountain, whole team of us. I even volunteered to carry something for some of the girls, you know, because I was so excited, right? Hey, come on, I can help you carry your things, you know. You know, we went in. After 2 miles, I said, please take back your bag. Okay, there's a time to be a hero. This is not one of them, right? And then as I was climbing the mountain, starting out like this, and it gets harder, right? And then as you look up the mountain, different thoughts come to my mind. Thoughts such as, Daniel, what on earth possessed you to climb this mountain, right? Are you insane, right? And then I had, because to climb the mountain is a 2-day affair, right? I had to bring torchlight. Because I was so excited, I brought the biggest torchlight I could find. It was this big, right? I want to make sure I could see everything, right? Along the way, I was thinking to myself, is there a place where I can bury this torchlight so that when I come back down, I can think, because it's very heavy, right? It's not heavy for a little while, but for the journey, you have need for endurance, right? I was thinking how to ditch things. I might try and persuade my friends to carry my things also, right? And then it started raining. I was thinking to myself, thank God I have a waterproof bag, right? It was climbing, it was harder and harder to climb. Finally, when I got up to the resting point, I realized, you know, my bag which says waterproof. Waterproof means water can go in but cannot come out. So it's no wonder it's so heavy. I'm carrying all this water because it's raining heavily. But I'll tell you, everywhere I go, friends will pass by, people are passing me by quite a lot. In fact, some of the people, the locals, they are incredible. They're carrying gas tanks. They're bouncing up, like boing, 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 boing. And then I'm climbing. 2 hours later, they're bouncing down again. Same guy. Wow, he's up and down already. And I'm like killing myself, right? And my friends tell me, don't worry, it's just round this corner. And I would believe them foolishly. Just round the corner, go round the corner. Wow, so much more, right? And after about 25 of this round the corners, I don't believe anything. This is an infinite mountain. There's no ending to this, right? And I'm climbing and climbing. On the last day, you wake up at 3 in the morning to climb. You're on the ropes. Actually, I was on my knees. I was literally climbing on my knees. I wanted to quit so badly. There was one other girl who was nearly as bad as me. She was a girl, right? I kept telling her, you want to quit or not? You quit, it's okay, I can stop and help wait with you here, you know. Quit lah, you know. You don't have to press yourself so hard, lah. Darn it, she won't quit. So I was like, no, I cannot lose face, right? I was kind of hoping and really praying that she would quit. Then people said, the reason I didn't get up there was because of her, right? But no, she kept going. So I had to keep going. I was literally on my knees when I got up there, right? When we got up there, we were supposed to catch the sunset. Now we're getting sunburned already, right? Sunrise. But the sun is nice and up. People are all coming down. But I tell you, when I got up there, suddenly it looked so different. You know, when you go up there, when you're at the end of your journey, although that wasn't the end because I got to come down all the way again, but when you're at the end of the journey, it looks different. The mountain looks different depending on whether you're at the end or you're at the bottom in the valley. Many of us, you're not at the end of your journey. You're probably right at the starting point where you're volunteering to carry things for other people. But I tell you, this journey is going to get hard. It will get very, very hard, right? And that's why the Bible says you have need for endurance. But many people, they got no endurance. They give up. Don't want to climb already. Go home already. Play something. Play Pokemon or whatever, right? Maybe up there you can really get the super Pokemon. You know, catch it. Who knows what's up there, right? But many of us, we give up. We despise the inheritance. We give up fighting. Instead of climbing the mountain, we run away from the mountain. Many of us do not realize, but Joshua realized this because he already reached there. So he's trying to tell the young people, say, listen, young people, trust me on this. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt to show for it, right? Listen, it looks much better at the end. And from this end, I will tell you this, God never fails. You see, you can't say that until you're at the end, right? But Joshua is at the end. That's why he says, listen, God will never fail you. He has never failed. Not one single promise has failed. And this is what he's trying to say to encourage you guys. Because you guys are still climbing the mountain, right? So I'm telling you, don't worry. When you get up there, it'll be worth it. And here you're thinking, I'm going to die already. Don't worry, it'll be worth it, right? It'll be worth it. Turn to your neighbor and say, it'll be worth it. So Joshua now, he gathers all the people, because he's going to die already. He actually is going to die, not like Esau, say only, right? He gathers all the people at this place called Shechem. Now, when I was in Israel this last trip, we wanted to go to Shechem. I wanted to go to Shechem very much, because I know the significance of this place. But the place we went to before Shechem was Bethel, see? And Bethel was the place where Hannah, not our Hannah, but the Bible Hannah, prayed for a son, right? And it was an amazing place. We spent so much time praying there because we believe maybe there's a bit of God's presence remaining in that place, right? You know, maybe there are people who want children. They were praying until the sun literally set, you know. So by the time we wanted to go to Shechem, which is in the West Bank, it was already dark. Cannot see anything already, right? But we wanted to go back the next day. But the next day was the day when, Trump made the announcement about Jerusalem, right? So, you know, all hell broke loose in West Bank, so we never could go to Shechem. But Shechem was a valley city right between two mountains. Mount Ebal on one side and Mount Gerizim on one side. So very close, very nearby, right? It was also the place where John chapter 4, Jesus met the Samaritan woman, Jacob's well. Remember that? They sat at the well and they had this conversation. And the woman suddenly says, should we worship here on Mount Gerizim? That's right at Shechem. They were right there. So Joshua gathers all the people in this valley between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And then he tells them this, okay? Joshua chapter 24, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you serve. Whether the gods of your father that your father served and were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land which you dwell. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, it doesn't take a theologian or a Bible scholar to know the theme of this passage. What do you think the theme is? What do you think? Just look at the text. I thought the text is on the screen. No wonder you don't know. Yeah. Right. What do you think it is? Serve the Lord, lah, right? I mean, the word serve appears so many times. So at the end of all this, Joshua is basically saying to all the people, listen, the purpose of your life is to serve the Lord. Some people say, I don't know what's God's will. Today, Joshua is telling you, the purpose of your life, the will of God for all our lives is to serve the Lord. Amen? And Joshua is saying, make up your mind. Because you know what? Many people don't make up their mind. You know, many people, they are sitting on the fence. For them, their faith is an experiment. It's an exploration. It's adventure. But for Joshua, his faith is a decided matter. He already made up his mind. So many of you Christians, young Christians, have you made up your mind? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Have you made up your mind? Because once you have made up your mind, everything else becomes much clearer. But if you haven't made up your mind, you're sitting on a fence. Did you know that sitting on a fence is very painful? Right? I should put a fence outside so you can try. Right? Generally, sitting on a fence is not recommended. But many of us, we haven't made up our mind who to serve. We want to serve the world. We want to serve our own comfort, our own ambitions. We want to serve too. Bible says you cannot serve two masters. So Joshua tells the people, make up your mind whom you will serve. The purpose of our entire life, your Christian life, you don't need great theologians, you don't need a prophet, you don't need a dream to tell you these things. It is very simple. The purpose of a Christian life is to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. And this year, there will be many opportunities for us to serve the Lord, right? I mean, Kus, we are coming to a very important time. The whole new building is ready. Well, sorry, which side? This side. The building is ready. And, you know, I mean, we've got so many things lined up. It's so exciting. Right now, we're trying to negotiate for, you know, license to whether we can show, you know, finals of Manchester United and all these are down here. Then everyone can come here and watch together. Don't you think that's kind of cool, right? It'll be cool, except we have to separate everyone, all right? One group sit one side, one group sit outside, and no beer, except root beer, right? You know, we have so many plans on how we want to reach the community. It's very exciting. And we want people to serve in many, many different ways. Today, we have this handout that's being given out to you all as an opportunity on how you can choose to serve the Lord also, right? How you can be part of fighting for inheritance instead of squandering away your life. Actually, I have another sermon that's preparing for you guys. I almost can't wait to tell you, but one of the things has to do with this. Has to do with this. Okay, I'm just kind of a preview of that, a spoiler of that sermon. One of the things about this is like, if I give you $1 million, what would you do with it? Okay, while they're handing out the forms. If I give you $1 million today, okay, imagine you had an ang pao this new year, and you open up, and you can't believe it's $1 million, what would you do with it? Some of you kind of lost. What would you do with it? I mean, seriously, just think for a second. Some of you, okay, I want to burn. What do you reckon you do with it? Is this really for me? I don't think I deserve $1 million. I better give back to the owner. I don't think the owner will do that, right? I'm going to go for a buffet. $1 million, you literally eat until you die. Okay, so buy the thing you wanted to buy. Right? New clothes, new watch, new Chanel, Louis Vuitton bag or whatever things young people are after these days, you know. What would you... Actually, it's very hard. Because most of us never had that kind of money. And have you heard the saying that says, time is money? Have you heard this saying? Right? Look, you don't have $1 million. But let me tell you this. You have time. You have more than $1 million worth of time in your life. The question is, this money is disappearing day by day. Tomorrow, you'll be 24 hours poorer than you were today. I'm very much poorer than you are already, right? I'm already almost reached the end. The way I drive my car, I probably nearly reached the end of my utility already, right? Because I drive very fast. I don't recommend that for you, right? But for you, you have more than $1 million worth of time in your hands. What are you going to do with it? Joshua says, serve the Lord. If you don't know what to do, then just do what the Bible tells you to do first. Sooner or later, you'll discover it was the right thing. So today, as you receive this handout, these are opportunities for you to indicate. Now, I want to tell you, as you are filling this up, right? As you're thinking about how to fill this up, I want to tell you, we are taking a new approach to how we do volunteers in church. When we went to visit Heart of God, and it's good that Heart of God Church is here, right? We learned from them something very interesting. They have something known as the Ministry of Manpower. Maybe not exactly that. They have a concept known as Ministry of Manpower, which we decided that maybe we can learn something good about that. The reason, let's make sure, by the way, if you don't have, please put up hands. We want to make sure everybody must sign up, okay? Now, there are many people who don't sign up because they think they got no talent, Okay, they think they have no gift. Or they are not sure. Sometimes they have gift, but they are very paiseh. They dare not admit that they have gift, right? Some other people, we used to have a problem. In church, this is how normally volunteering goes, right? We ask you, please sign up for a ministry. That everyone want to join worship team, right? Because everyone think they can sing, you see, right? You know what I mean? When you go home, right, you turn on the shower, only you, or whatever it is. Right? Maybe, now you probably sing something else. Call me maybe, or whatever. So, okay, I don't know, right? And everyone signs up. There are some ministries nobody want to sign up for, right? Because it's not so popular. And we have multiple troubles dealing with this. Because many people will sign up for worship or for choir. Actually, they cannot sing. But it's very hard to tell them that they cannot sing, right? Because they put their whole heart into it. You know what? Pastor say, I must serve. And I decided I'm going to give my gift of singing to the church, right? So they bring their gift of singing to the choir. And after audition, the choir directors inside say, this one I think cannot make it. You know, I don't think this guy can sing, right? But we don't have Simon Cowell, you see. So we don't have Simon Cowell to tell them, you know, you cannot make it or whatever. So how to tell the fella? So some people in church, this actually happened. They get very upset. I want to sing, but look, they don't want me to sing. I already signed up so many times. I tried to audition so many times. Each time they tell me cannot. I'm trying. This doesn't work. And then on the other hand, some of you are very good at other things, but you never gave your mission. Okay, so we decided to take a different approach. We want everybody to sign up. When you sign up, we'll try and profile you, right? We'll try and discover what your strengths and weaknesses are, and we'll put you to serve wherever the need is, not wherever you want to serve, right? Where the need is and how you fit best. Now, you might ask, Pastor, why do you do it this way? Now, I want to imagine this, right? Singapore is going to war against some enemy nation. And you are in one of these groups, one of the platoon. Maybe you are one of the sergeant of a small platoon, right? And then the general comes to you. Hey, sergeant, I need you to fight over that side. Defend the left flank. Or I want you to go and maintain the armored vehicle or whatever the thing is, right? And then the sergeant says, sir, I think my gift is actually not armored vehicle. My gift is to actually, I will sweep the officer's dormitory or something like this. Can you win a battle like this? Cannot, right? Because we need to serve where the need is, right? We don't serve for our own sake, we serve the need. So we are taking a slightly different approach. So what you have in your hand now is something we want everybody to serve, right? Because the purpose and the mission of our life is to serve the Lord. So, if you have a preference, okay, and there you can see down there, they are like welcome culture. There may be more than this, but these are just guides. Indicate your preference. Remember, this is a preference only. Right? It is a preference only. We may find that there's more need elsewhere. You may be directed. But our attitude must be this. Lord, wherever you need me to serve, I will serve. Amen? Amen? You know, it's a bit more conviction than that, right? You know, years ago when I was in another church and the bishop came to me and asked me, Daniel, we would like to send you to Church of Our Savior. How do you feel about that? I thought about this for a while. It's quite a shock because last minute, right? Then I said, Bishop, how I feel has absolutely no relevance to this matter at all. What does it matter how I feel? What the need is what matters. If I need to be there, I need to be there, right? Now, I hope you can have the same attitude towards serving God. You understand what I'm saying? It's nothing to do with how you feel. It has to do with the gifts that God has given you. It has to do with the need that is at hand. It has to do with you deciding to avail yourself with the right kind of attitude to serve the Lord. Amen? Okay? So, we are growing up. We are no more children, right? We are not running around trying to fulfill our own self. A sense of self-worth or esteem. Serving is not the way to prove your self-worth. You're all already worth incredibly much in the eyes of God. So much so that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you. If you are here today, you're not a Christian, right? I want you to know that Jesus feels that you are so precious that He's willing to die on the cross for you. And in fact, He died on the cross for you, right? So if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, let this be the day that you give your heart to Jesus Christ. But for the rest of us, serving God is not a way to prove your self-worth. It's a way to worship the Lord. And you don't worship the Lord by doing only what you like. You worship the Lord by doing what God likes. Amen? Okay, so this is what I mean by growing up. Okay, so anyway, I need to end this. But I'm sure Pastor Tina will follow up this with you all, right? And, you know, later on, as our church rolls out, there will be calls for more and more. But make yourself available. Say yes. Everyone say yes. Okay, don't be naysayers. Be say yes-sayers, all right? Okay. 2 years ago, you know, we've been running this for a very long journey. And frankly, for me, it's been a very, very long time now. I've been in this church for 7+ years now. Yeah, time passed so fast. And for you, before you know it, you'll be adults. You'll be working. You might even have children already for all you know, right? So about 2 years ago, we began a journey. And some of you may remember this. Do you remember this? Ah, yes, you all remember this. You see, mine, I wrote down here, covenant. This is 2016 January. January, right? And then down here, I put some other things. The 2017 is down here. Oh, my trip to Japan, I even wrote down here. 2017 down here. You know, there are things I haven't written down. I've kind of carved it with my tool at home. But, you know, we've been making this journey, right? And you remember in this journey, we talk about what the covenant is all about. The kingdom of God is all about. We talk about the quest of the kingdom. We look at the parables of Jesus. We talk about attitudes that we must have. Fire up. Do you remember fire up? We even have that little thing that you all, the rubber thing. I still have it in my house. You know, it hasn't gone sticky yet. We talk about why we need to be a missional church. Why we need to impact the community. We have our KPI. Remember? Know, right? Pursue, then impact. We want to impact the community. We have so many things that are already beginning to happen. In fact, it's just beginning to happen right now. Testimonies are coming in hard and fast, and I wish I could have some time to share with you, and I will share some of these testimonies with you in the future. Friends, actually, revival is here already. God is already doing something. What we need to do is you and I, we need to actually rise up. This is our season to rise up, to take hold of the inheritance of God. And I'm so glad that you all made it. Because in the course of these 7 years, there are many people who are so impatient that they left church. Do you know that? There are people who left Kus because they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait for the two marshmallow. They want to see it right now. But you guys, somehow, you're here. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for staying around, sticking around long enough to see that God is beginning to do something amazing here. There are some people who along the way gave up because it was too difficult. Too hard to bear. Too much to endure. But you guys, you're here. Somehow or rather, you managed to endure this far. I want you to know that the journey forward is going to be even more challenging. Greater reward, but also greater challenges. And we have need for endurance. We have need to hold fast and not cast away our confidence. Because there's a great reward in the Lord. Amen. When Joshua gathered all the people in Shechem, he basically instructed them to build an altar with the stones. What stones? The stones that they take up from crossing the river Jordan. Remember, they took 12 stones, right? And I believe those were the stones he told them, bring all the way to Shechem and build an altar there with those very stones. And on those stones, they wrote the law of God. They cleaned up the stones. They wrote the law of God, probably the Ten Commandments, right? They wrote down there to remind them. Today, we are building the altar of God. But where are our stones? Where are the stones? Well, you are the stones. I know you look like stones sometimes, but you're actually living stones, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a living stone. The Bible says in 1 Peter, it says that you are living stones that God is using to build up into this spiritual house. You are the very stones that God is using to build a foundation for a brand new revival for Singapore. Look guys, if you don't do it, there's no one else. You are it. Do you know this? If you do not catch the fire of God, that's it. It's over for us. I'm too old already, you know. Our forefathers, they are too old already. Your parents are probably too old already. You are it. You are the living stones that are being built up into the house of God. So you must catch the fire. If you don't catch the fire, if you don't have endurance, you become lost like the rest of the world. Then what hope is there for the world? If salt loses its saltiness, then what good is it? Right? So you guys, you are it. So finally, when Joshua had all the people stand, he sent the priests up, some of them on Mount Gerizim, some of them on Mount Ebal. And he wanted to bless them. And today, I want to bless you too. You know, I want to bless you, and I want, maybe, I don't know, are we ready to sing? Okay, you know how to sing the song. Okay, we're going to sing a song, but I want to bless you because, not because, you know, last time they used to have this, I can't remember what product advertisement is, but basically the advertisement involves a girl flipping her hair like this, you know. My, I got no hair, but I got some hair, but, you know. And then she says, because I'm worth it. What advertisement is there? Huh? Maybelline, yeah. I thought it was Calbury or one of those, okay? Maybelline. Because of, no, not because you are worth it, but because you have a grand promise in God. You are carriers of God's inheritance. Please do not be like Esau, who despised the inheritance and as a consequence gave it all up. Today, your inheritance may not be very clear in your eyes. Don't worry about it, alright? Say, don't worry. Don't worry about it. It will become clear. Today, the end may not be in view yet. It's okay. Do you know that Abraham was given the promise. The promise included a land, right? But did you know that when Abraham's wife died, Sarah died, he didn't even have a piece of land to bury his own wife. Did you know that? He didn't even have any land. He couldn't see the end. He had to buy a piece of land at a place known as Machpelah in order to bury his own wife. In fact, when he himself died, they had no land yet. Yet these guys, their vision was clear. They hung on to it. You know why? Because the promise of God depended on Abraham. It depended on Abraham being faithful. So young people, today you are like Abraham. Billy Graham dies. And with Billy Graham, one whole generation of evangelicals, actually they are all dying. But today, we need young men and women who will rise up, who will turn their backs on the world and say, God, you are my inheritance. I will fight for my inheritance. I will rise up. I will not despise what God is doing in your life. I want to pray that every single one of you, every single one of you, however strong or weak you might feel right now, right, it's not about your feelings. It's about your commitment. Choose this day to serve the Lord. That you will avail yourself to become God's instruments for a whole new generation, for a whole new revival. Some of you, you might feel, but I don't think I can. I don't even know my gifts. It's okay. You don't have to, right? You just have to stay. The battle belongs to the Lord. You just have to be obedient and faithful like Caleb. And I pray that as we bless you, this is the blessing, that God will cause you to come into your inheritance. So we have this song. It is a song that we sang at JDOP. Some of you may remember it, but it's actually the words from Numbers, the Aaronic blessing. And I just want to ask you to stand as we sing, and you can maybe join us in singing this song, right? It's a beautiful, lovely, lovely song, right? I hope that as you sing, these words will sing, will speak to you, and they'll bless you. May the Lord bless you.
So may the Lord
bless and keep you in His inheritance.
May His grace and His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. So
generation.
And may His grace and His faith shine upon you. Oh, may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. For this is the way you shall.
I'd like to pray this prayer over you in Hebrew, all right? I know you don't know Hebrew, maybe some of you do, but it is the same. You know the words. It's good to hear it as the children of Israel kind of heard it that day. Yevrechecha Yehovah ve'yishmerecha Ya'er Yehovah benav lecha ve'choneka Isa Yehovah benav lecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. And make you know His peace. Father, we pray for this whole generation, Lord. Everything that we have done will eventually fall into their hands. This is their inheritance. This building that we've just put $26 million into it. This church, the legacy and everything that's happened. The faith that You've given to us. The revivals that we have experienced. The reality of God ultimately falls into this generation of young people right here. So Lord, will You cause them to know Your peace, Lord. More than that, may they catch Your vision. May each one of them realize what a great reward there lies in wait for them. That it is reserved for them with their name on it. For that reason, may You give them courage and faith to arise to fight for their inheritance. May they not squander away the opportunities that You are giving to them through the youth of their life. May they not wander around through the wilderness of purposelessness, of visionlessness, of missionlessness, of lostlessness. Lord, some of them today may not see the vision quite as clearly. But God, I pray that in this year 2018, it will be a year of growing up. They'll begin to see beyond themselves, beyond their private feelings of the matter. They'll begin to look at the kingdom of God and that which is their inheritance. So Father, I want to pray Your peace and Your blessing to be upon them as they rise up to serve Your kingdom. In the name of Jehovah, in the name of Jesus, I ask and we pray. Amen, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, Check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.